Well, before I start, let me say a Happy New Year to you all. I think this is the first Sunday of the year, so I trust you had a good New Year, and I trust you had a good Christmas and a Happy Christmas. We certainly had a very busy Christmas day. We were out of the house at 8 in the morning and didn't get back till near midnight, so it was a busy day. I wonder, during the Christmas day, or at least even the Christmas week, how, if any of us stopped and just thought for a short time about that little baby that was born all those years ago in that little town of Bethlehem on the other side of the world. And did you stop and think about the fact, the amazing, the wonderful fact that God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, humbled himself and took the form of a newborn, a dependent, a tiny little baby, and came into the world. That's what we remember at Christmas time, isn't it? And I'd like to speak about him, the Lord Jesus Christ, this evening. You know, I'm a Christian, and it's a wonderful thing as a Christian to be able to call the Lord Jesus Christ my Saviour, and to call him my friend. He's my Saviour because he took the punishment for my sin that I deserve, and he bore it away. And he's my friend because when I was in need in my sin, he came and he helped me out. And I'd like to talk to you tonight about what a wonderful friend we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ walked and taught and did some amazing things, he was followed around by the religious leaders of the land in Israel. And many times they were trying to accuse him and to find fault in him. And one of the accusations that they threw at the Lord Jesus Christ was they called him the friend of sinners. And you know, I was thinking about that this last week or so, and I thought, you know, that might have been an accusation that they threw at him, but I think that's just a wonderful title of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is a friend to sinners. The Bible tells us plainly and simply that each one of us are sinners. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of God's standards. And so isn't it a wonderful thing to know that the Lord Jesus Christ can be our friend? What I want to do tonight is to read two passages concerning the life of the Lord Jesus, one right at the start of his life and the other right at the end of his life, and through those passages just find out what a wonderful friend the Lord Jesus Christ can be if we accept him as our Saviour. And just remember that if we do accept him, he can be your friend. I know that I can say to you confidently that there's no friend like him. We were just talking, Melody and myself, this evening how it's wonderful to know in our marriage that not only are we husband and wife, but we're really good friends. And we said we were best friends, and then we realised, well, the Lord Jesus Christ is our best friend. And it's a wonderful thing to know that. So let's just read firstly in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read some verses concerning right at the very start of the Lord Jesus Christ's life, when he came into the world and became a baby. Luke chapter 2, and reading from verse 1. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him, and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I'm sure all of us know the Christmas story, the story of how the Lord Jesus Christ was born to a virgin Mary. And there was no room for them in the inn when they came into Bethlehem because of the busyness of the place during the census time. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, to think that God's Son left all the power, all of his power as God, left all the glory of heaven, and humbled himself and came into the world as a small baby. And right from the start of his life, he was rejected. God's Son came into the world and he was rejected. And here we find, as he was born, there was no room for him in the inn. I wonder, and it's a question I'd like you to think of tonight, is there any room in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Statistics tell us and surveys tell us about Christians that the majority, and by far the majority of Christians, become Christians in their teenage years, or at least before their 20s. Now we know that you're not born as a Christian, it's a conscious decision that each of us must make. Statistics tell us that most Christians become followers of the Lord Jesus before their 20s. And it's quite rare for a person to start on the Christian pathway to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in older age. And I was thinking, I wonder why that is. Perhaps it's because as a teenager, you're just starting out in life, you're looking for pathways to follow, you haven't got really set in your ways, you're still opening doors. And so there's room because your life isn't full. A lot of people I know, a lot of older people who aren't Christians, say that, well look, I've been living this way for 40, 50 years, and I'm happy, I'm comfortable with the way that I'm living. And they're busy in their work, with their family, with their hobbies, with their possessions, and they just can't find room in their life for the Lord Jesus. They're not willing to change their ways. Because once you become a Christian, you must become a follower of the Lord Jesus. And becoming a Christian is the first step in the Christian life. Accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour is just the first step. There's other things to think of, like baptism, like joining a church, following and obeying the words and the teachings of the Lord Jesus. I wonder how busy is your life? Are you willing to give him room in your life? You know, one particular person I know says he's so comfortable that he doesn't want to change. Well, you know, the reality of it is that he might be comfortable for the next 20 years or however long he has left in this world. But on the other side is eternity. And you might be as comfortable as you think you are here on earth, but there's eternity to think about. We'll talk more about that later. And so the Lord Jesus, he's our friend. Even though he was rejected right at the start, he still wants to be our friend. Let's look in Luke's Gospel again, at the end of Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 23 it is. And we're skipping over an awful lot of what happened in the Lord Jesus' life. Luke's Gospel chapter 23, and I'd just like to read just a few verses again from verse 33. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. And this is, for those of us that know your Bible, of course, the account of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. 33 says, "And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, if he saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, the chosen one. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And there was also an inscription above him, this is the King of the Jews. Now if you'd like to, you can read through the rest of the chapter later on perhaps, of just how the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on that Roman cross. And here we see the Lord Jesus at the end of his life. No more a little baby, but a fully grown man, around about 33 years old. We see him hanging on the Roman cross. And again I think of the Son of God, leaving all of his power, leaving all of his glory, and humbling himself to die the death of a criminal. Such love is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking not long ago about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, and I was wondering, why did they have to spit on him? Why did they have to put a crown of thorns on him? Why did they have to beat him? Why did they have to yell abuse at him? I know that God demanded a sacrifice to pay for my sin, and I realised that the Lord Jesus Christ had to die to pay for my sin. But I was thinking, surely he could have had a quick, a painless death. He would have died and my sin would have been paid for. And I was thinking about, why did the Lord Jesus have to suffer so much? And the answer I came to is simply because my sin and your sin, our sin, is so vile in God's sight that the punishment had to be paid completely, had to be paid in full. So often we sin, we do wrong, we tell a lie, whatever it is, and you don't realise how bad it is. The world talks about white lies as if they're meaningless. But God looks at our sins, and in God's holiness, He sees our sin and He hates it. And so the Lord Jesus had to suffer so cruelly because our sin is so vile. And so we see the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, before this, He said, greater love has no man than this, and He laid down His life for His friends. Greater love has no man than this, that He laid down His life for a friend. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that He laid down His life. And He was no ordinary man. He was the Son of God, taking the form of a man. And He loves us, and He laid down His life for us. Why? Why did He do all this? Firstly, because He loves us. Another reason, He doesn't want us to suffer. As sinners, we deserve punishment. But the Lord Jesus loves us, and He doesn't want us to suffer. And so He suffered for us. He took our punishment, if we accept Him. Another reason, He has prepared a place for us. And I'd just like to think before I close and hand over to Mr. Parker about that place that He's prepared for us. You know, heaven is a reality, a definite reality. I'm sure of heaven. I know I'm going there, and it's a wonderful hope and a promise that I claim. That because my sins are forgiven, because I've accepted the Lord Jesus as my Saviour, I have a home booked for me in heaven. Heaven is a reality. It's a home for all who trust in Christ. But I say that, and I must give you a warning as well. Heaven is a reality, and hell is a reality. Someone spoke in the gospel late last year about a rich man, and Dad mentioned about him last week. A rich man who died rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was in hell. And I read through the passage, it's in Luke 16, I'm not going to read it now, but I read through the passage, and this is what it said about him. The rich man, a couple of times it mentions he's in hell. Once it mentions he's in torment. Twice it mentions he's in agony. And another time it mentions that he's in flames. And if we read that, to take the time to read the account, we'd read how he begged for mercy. Eternity is real. And that man is still in hell. He is there now in torment. He's there now in agony. And he's there now in flames still. And I'm sure if he could, he'd still be begging for mercy. I'm going to close by saying, don't go there, please. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken the punishment. Accept Him today as your Saviour. Have a home in heaven. Receive Him today.